Do you have an intro song?
Yeah, dude, I got a fucking intro song, man. I got a fucking big intro song, dude. You want to see my intro song?
Yep.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
There it is.
That's good.
It's going to go.
Wait.
It's going to go now.
Oh, is this still part
of the
intro?
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today on Whiskey Ginger is Mr. Brent Morin, one of my favorite people in the world. And I say that for all my guests. So I do. So who knows? Do you think I mean it when I say that?
Yes, with me. I don't think you mean it with other people.
That is true. There's been two other people on the podcast, and I'll let you guys guess who I fucking didn't like that much. But Brent.
Chris?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That guy's a piece of shit,
so
dude.
So rich and stupid looking.
Look at my fucking long hair and all my money, my long limbs.
Yeah, my little legs.
He's limby.
Seven cars, probably.
Seven. He's got seven. You know what he needs to do is he needs to fucking hit the leg machine, dog.
Fuck you, man.
You fucking piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
Brent, I do mean it when I say I love you because I've known you for a very long time in comedy. I know you very long time.
Very long, actually. But when we were still doing like bars and
we were doing bullshit
shows.
Places. And now look at you. You just sold a show to NBC. On top of the world.
We'll see.
Do you feel good?
I feel good. We have a notes call today, so we'll see.
What's the show about? Can you tell us?
I think I can. It was in the trades.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't pull that bullshit on my podcast.
To be honest, I felt bad about it. Cut it. I got to get used to doing this, obviously, if this show actually goes. It's basically about I play this guy who ends up, he gets divorced.
It's a pass. I'm sorry, you guys. That's a pass. That's it.
Yeah, that's how I pitched it, too. It's a workplace comedy multi-cam. I end up a character like me who's recently divorced and has a daughter who lost his job.
Which is true for you.
I mean, in a
lot of
ways.
You're recently divorced and you got a daughter.
I think I have a daughter. I mean, she said she was, but I didn't believe her. I pushed her away.
What would your daughter be named? What would your daughter's name be? Fast.
Delilah.
Delilah? What's your son's name? Go,
Boston.
Fast. Are you going to name your kid Boston?
No, I can't, but that's a good name because you can't even make fun of that. Nickname it, Boss. Yeah. Boston, you know?
Bossy.
You need names you could yell. Delilah! You know what I mean?
Delilah's good.
That's a good yelling name.
Boston, get the fuck over here!
Boston! Put it down. Sorry, Boss! You know, there's something good there.
Yeah, there's no way to turn that into a shit name.
Buster! I should name my
Buster.
Kid
Buster. Come here, Buster. It's also your dog.
Boston, Buster, Brian.
Buster, Boston. Boston and Delilah. My kids are going to be... what are my kids' name? My boy's going to be called Axe, A-X-E.
That's good.
And my daughter's going to be named No.
No?
No.
You're going to have an Asian wife?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Is that racist? What are we allowed to say anymore?
You, dude, you can be as racist as you want. All my fans are racist.
I could see it.
You know that. No, you could say whatever you want. You could say anything that you want, dude.
We'll get into that in a second, I think.
We'll get into all that good jazz.
Because I can't stand this shit anymore.
Give it to me right now.
All right, I will. right. Why are we so PC?
Why?
I can't stand it.
I don't think we are. I think we're not that PC. I think what's really going on is the small amount of people that are... Yeah, sip that right in the mic. That's what they like to hear. The small minority of people that are yelling about something they're not the big people. They're not all the people.
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
This is something, and I'm not going to name names because it'd be weird.
But
I have a friend who has a son, and he was dealing with some things at school, and like the argument that him and his, like one of his best friends was having... Basically, he accidentally, like, he didn't pants him or anything, pulled his pants down by accident, like, trying to get him to sit in a seat when they're around girls. And granted, you're a preteen, teenager, you're always going to be scared of women. But didn't do anything, caused a huge fight. I'm going to go to the principal and say, you sexually assaulted me. Like, they're throwing that word around. 13. And I'm going,
yeah.
And I'm thinking about the time when I was in eighth grade, and I'm in middle school, and my only knowledge of high school was all those teen movies that came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be the jock because I want the girls.
Totally.
So I bought those breakaway Chicago Bull pants and Laker pants because I thought if I dress like I'm
Tearaways.
An athlete, then I'm an athlete. And I remember like the prettiest girls in school were walking by me and I was like, are they looking at me? Because sometimes you felt like they were, even if they're talking shit.
They usually weren't. They were looking through you a little bit.
And my best friend, who's still my best friend to this day, I was best man at his wedding, He walks by me when these girls are looking at me and rips off my breakaway pants. My fault for wearing breakaways. And I still had Ninja Turtle underwear because it still fit my little penis. And so I kept it and everybody laughed at me. We hung out that afternoon. This is somebody who just sits somebody down and now they're in this big back and forth talk. And I was, and he's telling me this because he's like a, my pseudo nephew. And I was thinking like, I've been in huge fist fights with my best friend where I've broken his collarbone.
Yeah.
And I go to his house later that night and we're completely fine.
Yeah, but dudes do that.
I just think that, I think these, the kids are getting so fucking sensitive and they're becoming a bunch of pussies now.
Yeah.
There's no, and it's so, so detrimental, I think, to the future because, to their psyche in the future, because when one person actually insults you, like, or actually hits you or attacks you, it's going to be, you're going to crumble. You're going to shatter.
Yeah. I think you got to teach the kids that words don't mean shit. Yeah. But also, but the pantsing people is a whole different thing. That was our generation. Pantsing someone was awesome.
Yeah.
I had to pants this kid, Matt, in my music class.
You had to?
Yeah. I had to do it. Dude, he had sweatpants on. They were loose, not tied.
Oh, yeah, you have to. I understood why he had to tear the
Here's the thing about, here's the thing about sweatpants that you're asking for, you know, to get the pants.
Yeah.
If the... If I can see that it's not tied because the strings are out over the top,
sure,
dude, don't leave the door open if you don't want me to come in.
That's on you.
I de-pantsed Matt and I got his underwear as well. If you could back,
you
in
got
the day,
his underwear,
yeah, because oh, back in the day, good. If you were able to get, because everybody back then wore tidy whitey, so if you were able to get a grip tight enough under, just right under his ass cheeks, I got right under his ass cheeks and ripped it right down. Like I could feel it, dude.
Yeah.
I grabbed the elastic, woof, ripped it out, and his little cock was just waggling around, and everybody, we all laughed. He didn't, you know, he didn't, but man,
how's
was that fucking
now?
Fun, huh?
How is he
He's
now?
In a psych ward in upstate in Illinois, man.
Well, you know, you live and you learn.
Killed 13 people. No,
well, I mean,
you know what?
That means, to me, that seems like he grew some confidence.
Yeah, he did. Well, he didn't grow a dick, though. It's same size. He sends pics from
penises
jail.
Penises are always small when they're put out in public.
I hope. Are you, how is yours fine now?
It's okay. It's not a great cock.
What would you say? What would you say?
Average. I'm not insecure about it.
Yeah, you're
it's
fine.
It's not something where I don't think a girl's ever gone, whoa.
Like, you know the Randy Couture video that just came out of him jerking off? Do you know about this?
No.
You know who Randy Couture is,
of
right?
Of course.
So Randy Couture has, Pornhub has a video of him. I think he was,
so
like, he was sending it to somebody.
To
I know. I watched it too. But it's like him jerking off over the phone. And he's obviously sending it to some female or some shit.
Yeah.
And Rogan was like, is that, how was it? Like, was that fucked up? And I was like, you know what? He's not going to be happy about it being out, but he won't be mad.
Because it's a decent
penis. His dick's fine.
That's nice.
That's a good position to be in. If my dick leaked,
if
pictures, I'd be like, if pictures leaked, I'd be like, dude, that's a bummer, but I'm okay. As long as it was a good pic.
You seem like you have a good penis.
I got a fine, very, very fine penis.
I have some sex tapes from some exes, and I still
one of them is get a bigger dick.
Well, Brent, she said it.
First thing, get a real cock.
But I was thinking, if this goes out, just the things I say and the way my penis looks, this is not a good look.
Do you send dick pics ever?
Never. I've never sent a dick pic.
Never once?
This penis is a personality. It's not a shower. You know, it's somebody who you could talk to.
You're a grower, not a shower?
I don't think
I'm. Or you're not even a grower?
I think I'm more of a grower. I'm not a Bobby Lee situation here. You know?
Oh,
so.
Yeah. His is embarrassing.
Yeah, but it fits him.
Yeah, it does. It literally does.
You know?
That bulbous belly he's got, that fucking big rice bowl on his stomach.
He looks like his penis.
He does. He
Which
looks like his
Which
little tiny cute penis.
He has a beautiful, awesome girlfriend, so life's good.
Yeah. When I saw his dick for the first time at the Comedy Store, I thought it was going to have one of those little like Asian rice patty hats on top of it. I thought it would just be on there.
I remember there was a first time I saw his penis, because if you're friends with Bobby, you're going to see it.
It's a fact.
Years ago, I was in college too doing stand-up, and I was a buddy of mine, Vinny O'Shana, who's another funny
guy. He's still around?
Yeah, he's a funny comic.
You made it sound like he died.
Well, I didn't mean to. He's still fit. What does that have to do with anything?
Jesus Christ.
I judge men by appearance.
I know you do.
Oh, he's doing well. Look at his body. Anyway, I remember he was doing this thing like, oh, man, this hurts. And it was some weird thing he would do where he would act like he's like, oh, man, something hurts down here. And he'd pull out like his balls or something and act like it's inflamed and like grip it.
And squeeze it?
Yeah. Now it's up and it'd be a funny joke. And Bobby saw that. He goes, how did you do that? And he told him. And then we all went to eat. And I remember we're back at the Improv getting our cars after we ate. Places closed. And Bobby tries it. But his penis was small and he couldn't get... So his penis was out and he didn't know it was out. So he basically was just showing us everything.
His whole penis.
He goes, oh, look, my ball's swollen. And we look down. I go, your penis is
That's
out.
Your penis, dude. That's not your balls. That's also your penis.
And the way he looked at us and with slight embarrassment, because he's never embarrassed. And he went, oh... Like that?
Oh.
My bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I laughed so hard I threw my hat into the street. I've never done that before.
No, you love hats. You don't do that.
I know, especially, if there's a breeze, I don't want my hat
fuck no.
That hair out there. Can't wait to get some awesome surgery, dude. I'm going to look like Sonic the Hedgehog.
With the spikes?
Huge.
You spike it up?
And people are going to be like, what'd you do to your hair? Nothing.
Sonic. Yeah. I went to Mr. Sonic.
I got the Sonic.
My buddy in high school, Brian, this kid Brian, you know, like some people have stretchier nut sacks. I don't know how stretchy yours. Mine's not that stretchy. Mine's kind of stretchy, but like, dude, he used to be able to pull it and do over his legs, you know, do the flying bat or whatever the fuck it was called.
That sucks.
Yeah, he could do that. I was impressed, you know?
But see, I guarantee too, you felt a little insecure. Well, thinking, dude, if he could do it, why can't I do it? Maybe I have.
It was less insecure and more about the fact that I couldn't believe he had so much sack skin. I was like, damn, dude, you got so much sack. But then I thought,
there's no kids in there.
Now, as you're older, now that I'm older, I know that his sack now is like, it's like a fucking duffel bag. Yeah. It's a never ending sack.
It's going to be horrible. Yeah, mine's cute.
Usually on this podcast, we have a little drink because it's called Whiskey Ginger, but it's fucking earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And we fucked up. And for the fans that are mad that the last video we made didn't come out, this one's probably going to come out and we're late today on uploading. Mm-hmm. But shut the fuck up. I've got stuff to do and so does Brent.
Yeah.
So we're having coffee instead. But I do want to know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hit on every guest the first time you got drunk. Do you remember the first time you got drunk?
Yeah. First time I got drunk. I was late to the party. I was senior in high school, I think.
That's not that late.
17, 18.
I feel like that's pretty average. Most people say that around then.
Yeah, I mean,
what did you want to get liquored up at 10?
Well, my
dude,
first
I'm blacking out in fifth grade.
First drink was eighth grade, I think. My aunt gave me that at a beach house.
Once you tasted the sauce, boy, it was
Well, that I was like, ew. Well, actually, I shared a Mike Hard lemonade with my little brother. It was my little brother, who's a very flamboyantly gay man. Even as a little child.
And we don't say gay on here, dude.
You're right. Homo.
Yeah. Little homo.
Something, blah, blah,
a little
blah.
Little faggonoid.
Yeah. Only you get away with that.
I love your brother, by the way. He's fucking awesome.
And he's always like this. So me and my cousin were too scared to ask my aunt for a drink because we were like, we're about to go to high school. We got to get one in.
Yeah.
And so she walks up, we're like, quiet, quiet. And my little brother goes, Debbie, can we get a beer? And she's like, yeah, well, sure. So Brennan had a beer, and me and little bro shared a Mike's Hard. But I didn't get drunk.
You ripped a Mike's Hard, though.
Yeah, I didn't
that
get drunk.
That won't get you drunk.
No.
You'd have to have like six of those.
I didn't get drunk until I was a senior in high school. And that was...
What was it on? Do you remember the liquor?
That was beer.
Yeah, it was beer. Okay, not liquor.
Yeah, they were like, dude, have some beer.
And I hated it.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I gave him the peer pressure. There were girls came over, too. It was a buddy's place.
Did you ever steal liquor? Did you ever do that?
No.
How'd you get it when you were in high school? Was it, hey, mister?
Friends had it, because my house was a dry house. Nobody had booze in my house.
But did you ever go play hey, mister? You know what that is, right? Where you go ask people outside of a grocery store. You're like, hey, mister, can you go get me some fucking beer?
No.
You never did that?
I grew up in Connecticut, so, I mean, my parents weren't rich, but I had rich friends.
Yeah.
And so they had wine cellars or, you know.
Oh, shit.
Or they had, like, full-on cabinets.
Connecticut, where, all that white
are
money.
Dads on business trips.
Right,
so.
Right. They're always gone fucking their mistresses and their second families. We played Hey Mister all the time. Hey Mister was my favorite. You just chill outside of a grocery store. Because in Chicago, you can sell alcohol at grocery stores. Some places they can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Can they do that in Connecticut? Can you say sell booze at grocery stores or no?
Some of them you can. Yeah. And then you can't sell booze on Sunday.
That's bullshit.
Because it's God's day.
God invented it.
I know.
I never understood
water
that.
Water to wine.
Like in the... See? He was telling you. He's like, dude, this stuff is going to fix a lot of your issues and cause more. But ABC stores in the South... That's what my dad grew up with in the South, ABC stores. You got to get government regimented liquor stores. You can't get liquor on Sundays. God's day. So you know what they do?
What?
They stock the fuck up on Saturday.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're not going to stop people. It's like closing the bars at 2 will save you. It's like, no, man, you're just going to black out faster.
Yeah, just legalize everything, by the way.
Let it all go.
I mean, alcohol is the only withdrawal that could actually kill you, by the way.
Heroin, crack.
None of that could kill you.
Let's have it. I bet it can.
You could hallucinate and then you can have like seizures.
You don't think a heroin withdrawal can kill you?
No, I think the only one that actually can kill you from withdrawal is alcohol.
Shuts down your body?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny? We don't have anybody to do research on this, but I can't wait till we get comments and people are like, that ain't right.
Can I also tell you something? I'm the kind of guy who watches a trailer of like a World War II documentary and I know everything about it. So I really, I'm basing this off zero facts.
Yeah, no fact.
But I committed to that pretty good, huh?
You did. You sold me halfway.
I do it all the time.
You know, it's like if you go in a public restroom or like at a bar at a bathroom and they give you like there's an ad above the urinal and has like weird statistics on it. You know, it's like 14% of people who drink at bars end up in car accident, whatever.
Yeah. Why do they have that at a bar?
Because they don't want you to drink and drive.
Well, and you know what? They're just saving their ass. They don't care if you drink or drive. Nobody really, they don't care what you do.
They wouldn't have parking lots at some bars.
Well, yeah. It's an establishment for them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
There should be a drinking and driving bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, in Arizona, they have drive-through liquor stores. Have you ever been to those?
Mm-hmm.
So fun.
Yeah.
We were in college. We used to do that shit all the time. We would pull up in a pickup truck. You'd order a keg of Natty Light for like
Natty Light or
Keystone Light. Uh-huh. No, I'm not kidding. When I was in college, back in 1962, when I was in college,
that would've been a good time to go.
Oh man. When I was in college at Arizona State, there was a drive-up liquor store right next to, literally right next to campus, and my roommate at the time had a pickup truck, and we'd go up in a keg of Natty Light or Keystone.
Yep.
was $39.99.
Yeah, Natty Ice.
$40 American.
Natty Light.
Natty Light. Natty Ice was more expensive because Natty Light was Natty Ice is higher in booze content.
I remember
content.
Just drinking that all the time in college. That was the big garbage. The fact that we're calling it Natty Light is how much we were drinking.
It's around, I'm sure.
I think it is.
But now college kids are like, I'll take an IPA. I don't think anybody drinks dog shit beer anymore.
No. They don't drink dog shit beer anymore. They can't make fun of their friends anymore.
They can't drink bad beer. No. And they all have to...
They're all part of a movement.
Yeah. And the way that they smoke pot now is really lame. I've smoked pot for 20 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And I like smoking a little bit of pot sometimes.
Sure.
But now the kids, with the way that they dab and all this concentrate, mm-hmm. come on, dude. It's always so funny to me. It's always like poor kids. This is me. It's always like poor kids with no money that are like, I'm going to fucking smoke 9 grams a week, dude. It's like, just smoke one and have money then.
Yeah.
You don't need to get that fucking high that you just bake yourself for an entire afternoon.
It's true.
Get a little high on a little bit of flour and be good.
Yeah.
I don't know why the new culture wants to smoke so much pot. I sound like my fucking dad.
Isn't it amazing how...
You're smoking too much pot.
You get a little older and then all of a sudden you kind of take over some things that your parents did.
Dude, so many things.
I mean, I don't have a family or a love or a wife or a girlfriend, but or anybody to rely on me.
You have nobody.
I could disappear and no one would know for weeks.
Hey, I would know. I would know. I would notice.
That's true.
Yeah.
You'd be like, where's
I'd
Brent?
Be sad. I go, where's
no, you know
Brent?
What? It would take longer for you guys because you'd be like, oh, he's got to be on the road or something. Maybe shoot a movie.
Dalia would text me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dalia would text me and go, have you seen Brent? And then it would click. But you'd have been dead in the mountains for weeks by that
100%.
Time.
100%, yeah. You know what it would be? It would be I would have like a THC soda because I have no idea what that is. I'd be like, what is this thing? And then next thing you know, I would jump.
You know, Brent drove out to Joshua Tree and killed himself. What? Yeah, one THC soda killed him.
He wrote a book, although he only wrote like one paragraph and the rest of his pictures. Like, what? Yeah, he wasn't a really focused guy.
No, not the smartest friend we have, but a really sweet dude.
Really good guy.
Oh, but
really
you know what? Sweet. We jumped for a second. Your first time you got fucked up on beer, mm-hmm. and your aunt gave it to you?
No.
How did you get
it? That was like my buddy Drew and Alan, and like everybody was boozing. Ooh. Then. They're like, you got to drink. I was so scared to drink because I like looked up to my father so much. And my dad has been sober 33, 34 years. So
has he really?
Yeah. So, I mean, he was sober before I was born. So, so the house was dry.
Was it because you were born? Like a lot of times wives are like, no more boozing when we have kids.
Well, that was definitely a part of it. That was something my mom did say when he held me. He was like a different man.
You're the oldest.
No, I have a brother that's 8 years
older. That's right. You have an older brother.
Yeah.
That's right.
My parents took a break and then, you know, either way.
Dude, that's tight.
But he would scare the shit out of me. So I never broke curfew.
Right.
You know, he was a dad. He wasn't a friend. And then, you know, he would tell me, if I ever catch you drinking, you're not going to college, which I was like a little counterproductive. You know,
but also you might not have gone to college anyway because you're an idiot.
I was a fucking moron. I spent 5 of my 7 classes senior year at a desk in the hall. That's true.
Really?
Oh yeah. Because
you couldn't stop fucking around?
Yeah. By then I didn't care. I knew I was going to LA. I knew what I was going to do. And I was like, I just want to be in the hall. So they would set me up in the hall and give me assignments. And then my little brother's like going for valedictorian. He's a doctor now. And so he'd see me in the hall going, well, 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 look who it is. Somebody couldn't cut it in class. I go, shut up, Matt. I want to be in the hall. Did you finish your little assignments? And I go, shut up. Why don't you go compete with another Asian girl for valedictorian?
And
he's always friends with
and he
kids.
Did. Yeah. And he did. And he won. Oh, he lost?
Yeah, he lost to somebody named Chung or something. And that's not racist. Her last name is Chung, I think.
No, it probably was. It's Connie Chung.
Maybe
your brother
it was Williams. Maybe I am racist. I don't know.
It is.
Who knows?
It was a white dude.
Yeah, so I had to act like I would be like, I'm going to the movies and I'm sleeping at Alan's place. I always said movies. I couldn't say I was going to a party.
Well, the movies was great because back in the day, if you went to a movies, you could kill 2 or 3 hours of dead time when your parents were like, well, I guess they're just in the movies.
Yeah. My dad was like, now as an adult, and I talked to him about that stuff, he goes, I know you weren't at the movies.
Never.
He goes, there's not that many movies in the theater.
Nah.
He goes, and you weren't at Alan's house. I knew you were at this house. And I was like, oh, because I thought he would like.
He's snap. Like, Alan moved 6 years ago. Also, the movie thing was funny. It was like, if you had to meet somebody at the fucking movies and you were like, dude, I'm, you know, a movie's at 7:30 and you got there at 7:30 and nobody was there and you're like, guess I'm just watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no way to fucking be like, yo, are you guys not at the same?
I used to skip school to go to the movies by myself. Like,
did you?
I would leave my little desk in the hall sometimes. Because by senior
I love the image of you. I love the image of you in a fucking hallway doing shit. And all the security guards are like, what up, Brent? Like, yeah. Everybody knows you because that's your space.
I was sent to the office, like, I'd say like 80-something times senior year.
Principal's office?
Oh, yeah. But I used to go down there and I never got in trouble.
Did you ever get suspended?
No. They wouldn't even reprimand me. My vice principal, who was like the disciplinary, she was so impressed with my ability to sing and do dance and do stupid things.
Yeah, you are a multi-hyphenate.
So I would just go in and I would do jokes with all the secretaries and then the vice principal.
So you'd use the cuteness and ruse them up. And so they'd be like
Brent's back. Like, Brent, do something. What happened this weekend? And then they would ask me to sing and stuff.
You're looking at Mr. Suspension. Dude, I got fucking clipped constantly. Dude, I got clipped so much. It was insane. The one time this girl moved from England, this girl Lisa.
Yeah.
And she moved from England and, you know, I was such a piece of shit. It was like my freshman year and I was mocking her on the bus, you know, and I would just like do her accent and be goofy, bad British.
And you're
accent.
Good at accents.
Yeah, and so the whole bus would laugh.
Yeah.
And then the fucking bus driver was like, you boys, me and these two twin brothers.
Mm-hmm. It's always twins.
Dude, it's always twins.
They're either dorks or they're bullies.
Yeah, but by the way, they were both. They were like dork bullies. And she made us sit at the front of the bus, right? And we sat at the front of the bus. And then while we were doing that, we had a bunch of the fucking loose leaf paper.
Yeah.
And we were writing jokes and phrases on it. And we would hold it up so the whole bus would laugh. And it was all sorts of filthy, mean, fucked up shit. You know, like Lisa Johnson eats bangers and mash. Like Lisa Johnson ate my banger and mash or whatever the fuck it was. And we'll have to blank that name. Should have said a full name. No, this is years ago. What the fuck is
it? You know what? Fuck it. She's fine. Also, there's a lot
of... She's a grown-up. Yeah, she's a grown-up now. But anyway, the point is, we're writing all these fucking mean signs at the back of the bus, you know, to these bad British jokes, you know, like, I want to eat her crumpet, you know what I mean, and all that stuff. It was so bad. And of course, we get off the bus. I take mine in my backpack. One of the fucking dipshit twins leaves some of them on the bus.
Uh-huh.
Bus driver notices what's going on. She takes them to the principal's office. The next day, we get called in. The dean's office. And dude, I'm not kidding. On my fucking mother, this was the best suspension I've ever had because he had a stack of these fucking papers.
Yeah.
And he's like, you think this is funny? Belittling someone? You think this is funny? You think this is what you guys think is good and cool? He goes, I'm going to read every one of these off. And for every time you laugh, it's a day of suspension. Come on, bro. You think I'm not going to laugh when the dean of the school is saying I want to eat Lisa's crumpets and shit? I want to munch her crumpets? He's sitting there reading all these off. And they're filthy. They're getting filthier and filthier, you know? We're losing it.
Well,
but I'm loving it.
Do you think that he thought that would go, like, that backfired on him and he had dinner with his wife later that night and he goes, man, I really thought I was going to get through to these kids and I started reading these jokes up.
No.
Well, what were they? Well, let me read them to you. You tell me if these are funny. And she's laughing too.
Goes, yeah, she's losing it. It's pretty funny, man. Those guys are funny. No, he knew. He knew we could. You know when you hold in a laugh in school and it hurts but it feels so good?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that feeling?
Oh, yeah.
You'll never have that ever again, by the way.
No.
That's youthful shit.
And there were always the kids, like my best friend. Well, he ended up, like, his family had money, so he was such a mess up in middle school that they sent him to, like, a nice, fancy boarding school.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that funny when you fuck up that you go somewhere nicer?
Yeah, like that.
It's kind of like when you become a drug addict, they're like, you get out to Malibu and fix yourself. You're like,
I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, dude.
I always say, I need my show to be a hit before I can go to Malibu and enjoy that.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The worse off in life you get if you have money, they're like, you got to go figure this out, but you got to do it in a very nice, clean, safe,
with four
place.
Meals and brunch on Sundays.
And yoga.
Yeah, and then go back to your place. That's why people relapse. They're like, this place sucks.
I want to go back.
But I remember I used to hold in laughs with him because he didn't care. And like he was more ballsy than me. So he would always be authority figures he would go after. And then, of course, because his family had money, he was able to go to a nice fancy school.
He got out of everything, right? When you got money, you can get out of everything.
Well, yeah, you just send your kid to like a $40,000 a year overnight boarding school. Then you end up, you know, they pay till you get good grades, you go to a nice school.
Was your town small enough? Because I know you came, it's not that big of an area, right?
No, where I came from wasn't. And it was, you know, my
parents. Like, how many people do you think are in the town?
Like, you know, it wasn't that bad, actually, because I think my graduating class was like 1,200 or something.
Oh, shit,
more.
For real?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's more than I thought.
It was bigger. My parents were inner city high school teachers, but everybody around us was like people that would go to New York or Boston. You know, because we were like an hour and a half from both.
What's the name of the town again?
South Windsor.
South Windsor.
I made my best
friend.
It even
sounds like you have to
South Windsor.
You know
what I loved about it? Wikipedia, if you Wikipedia South Windsor, I'm a notable resident. Like,
are
they
you?
Have all these old school, like 18,
man, there must
16.
Have been nobody from there.
No, there's like old school people I probably should have learned about. That, you know, like the not Ben Franklin, but one of
Alan,
those types.
Alan Wakefield invented the candle in South Windsor. And Brent Morin.
You know, did you see me trying to think of a name? I couldn't think of one. Timothy. I was going to say Chalamet. Fuck.
You only do famous people that you already know?
Man, I got to read. I was thinking about this. I have to start reading.
Yeah, you know, no. I think I like where you're at. I like where you're at. Mentally, look, Brent, you're not going to get any smarter, but you're not going to get dumber.
That's true. And I'm okay with it. I could fake it pretty well.
Yeah, look at how far you've gotten.
Can I tell you something? I've learned this. There's something about, and I know people at home will think this too, like when you're, because we've both been on television, we've both done talk shows, we've both been comedians and entertainers, and
yep.
They probably think like, oh man, girls, they must come up to you and blah, 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 because we're cute guys.
Cute guys, dude.
Here's what I learned. My brother being a doctor, I've been trying to find somebody that isn't an actress or a model to date in my life.
Right.
And so I was like, well, what if I meet a doctor? Learn this. I met this girl through my brother. He introduced me to some doctors, and I said, what's her deal? And my brother goes, no. And I go, why? He goes, you're a clown. she does surgery. Yeah. And I realize, oh, to other circles, we're jesters.
We're
they
bullshit.
Don't give a shit about us.
Well, to
like,
my
she
to
can't
us,
go
yeah.
to her surgery buddies and be like, so what's your husband do? He's a comedian. Can you pass the scalpel? What did you say? Well, he tells jokes about his dick. Can you just like, there's no way. How am I going to get a doctor?
While she's washing her hands, you know how they do by the sink. It's like, yeah. So I heard you got married. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. Who'd you get married to?
He's an entertainment industry.
What?
He's
an entertainment industry.
Yeah, oh. On a show on Dateable. What's that?
They name all your credits.
He was on Chelsea lately when I was around.
He did the half hour on Comedy Central. It was viewed by 9 people. Yeah, he's a good dude.
You're in a mall in San Antonio right now doing shows. Could you pass?
Yeah, you can't. That's also true. I talked about that yesterday to somebody about how like people think they have money in the entertainment industry. You know, like, and people at home, there's a lot of people that think like everyone that acts is on TV is a multi-millionaire.
Oh yeah.
You're like, bro, opposite. In fact, real money. Mm-hmm. I remember this when I first moved to LA. I was like at like a party with like UCLA kids or some shit.
Oh yeah.
And another kid had said to another kid, he's like, what does your dad do? And the other guy goes, my dad's in plastics. That's it.
That's a lot of
when
money.
You're in it, you're what is that yeah. even fucking it's yeah. not like
he, plastics.
Yeah, you're not like my dad like from the Midwest, he'd be like, my dad works for Rubbermaid, you know? Like yeah. he makes the tops for Tupperware, yeah. you know? No, this guy's like, my dad's in plastics, which yeah. means mm-hmm. my father fucking owns plastics.
Oh yeah.
That's real money.
It's real money. I've been around the same thing. Something happens in our business where people think, oh man, you must be doing well. First off, when you're on the road, I would love any girl I've ever hooked up with on the road, come see my apartment.
Which is about 2 or 3.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I lie about a lot of them. I didn't know how to do this. I
yeah,
lie.
You broke the mic.
I didn't know how to. But I was like, just, you know what? You think you're like, I'm going to get you out of this small town. Come see my apartment.
Come see my small
town. Quarters for the laundry. Like, because I've hung out with people who come for money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Have you ever fallen in love on the road, by the way? Have you ever, in the sense of, have you ever met a girl that you hung out with that you were like, wow, dude, fuck. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, but that's atmosphere for me because I'm a hopeless romantic. And I think not in the greatest way. I think I've romanticized movies as a kid.
Yeah.
And so like if I'm in a place like New York in the fall or when I was in London,
right.
I could go and I meet somebody pretty and we go on a bike ride and I'm like, I'm staying. Like I've had many moments where I go, I'm staying.
You're a Hallmark Channel, yeah. bro. This is a movie from the Hallmark Channel.
And then you try to communicate when you get home and then you're like, oh, this isn't.
The man from the big city comes out to just little town us.
You know, when Chris and I used to go, Chris Delia, by the way, for everybody at home, it's not Delia. Anyway.
Apostrophe
in his name. It's
Delia.
Stupid.
It's Delia.
Delia. We used to do this thing like when I was opening for him like way back and we were playing like little shitholes, like terrible towns. We used to have this running joke where we'd be like walking through the mall because there's nothing else to do when you're in a small town. You go to the mall.
Walk around.
So we're walking around the mall and it'd be like a shitty mall with shitty people and everybody's ugly. And I'd be walking.
Dude, you're making fans all over the country.
I'd be walking. I didn't say the place. I'd be walking or Chris would be walking and one of us would stop and go like Chris would go, Brent, and I go, where are you? And I turn around, I go, what? And he would go, I'm staying. I go, Chris, no. He goes, I'm staying, Brent. And we would do that
That's so funny.
Like, we'd stay at a shitty condo, and it'd be a terrible pool with, like, fat kids, and name the place. And
guess that town.
Be floating around, and I'd hear, Brent, and some kid's probably pissing next to him. I go, what? And he goes, I'm staying. And it became a running joke to me.
What's the shittiest place you guys performed together? Do you remember?
Know.
You don't have to dump on the place, but what was like the worst experience?
Well, you know what? I would have to. He did. He when I was like back then opening for him, I don't really remember playing a really shitty, like a terribly shitty.
It was
place
still
with
you
him.
Were still in good shape.
I've played terribly shitty places,
right?
You know,
but when you guys were together, it was like fine.
Yeah, he still was always selling tickets, so he was. Did, yeah. I don't remember a time when he wasn't.
That's also that's true. Did you ever do triple runs? Did you ever do those?
What's that?
Oh, you don't know that?
No.
Triple Run was this guy. He created a bunch of like you know BC rooms for kind of like. You know, up and coming comics who had barely enough time,
mm-hmm.
and they were like speckled across the Northwest. So like, you could make a run to like go through like Reno and Wyoming and all sorts of like you know South Dakota and like a bunch of that. Montana had a room.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I did that. This triple run, fucking twice. I think I did it two times, and it was the most miserable shit on the planet. I actually lost money because I got two speeding tickets.
Really?
Yeah, one going up, one going down. Cried in my car, and then I did whippets with locals in Nevada.
Well, you have to.
Ended up under a pool table. It was like one of the worst nights of my life.
I remember all
some
those
cute
times.
Chick was like, "You do MTV? Yeah,
you
I do yeah.
MTV?
Yeah, I do MTV.
Oh, so this was punk time?
Yeah, it was when I did
oh,
punk.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, when I did punk time. You do MTV? I said, yeah. And she goes, "You want to get high with us? I said, definitely.
Definitely. Went, anything to forget this.
Yeah, whatever I can do to blank out from being here. And I remember fucking sitting in my motel
yeah,
room.
The motel times.
Oh,
I remember
dude,
those.
And I opened the fucking curtains and I looked out and it was a Coke machine. That's where my window was a Coke machine. It was the saddest shit. Dude, it was so fucking depressing. Mm-hmm. Jerking off was sad. Do you know what I mean? Like, even
oh yeah, where even, you're kind of outside yourself, thinking about like
so depressing.
Like you're thinking like it even gets to the point where you start thinking about like old friends going, "I wonder what Brent's doing right now." And you're in a motel with the sound of a Coke machine outside and just playing with your little penis with
yeah, the
bad,
hum
bad internet.
The hum of a Coke machine when a windstorm was blowing through the desert as I'm jerking off, just whoop, sad, so sad. This is before internet porn on your phone. You know, I didn't have my laptop. I was broke as shit.
Yeah.
I'm jerking off to the hum of a Coke machine, the wind whipping across the window in a motel in the middle of fuck off Nevada, and I'm crying a little bit. Even my jizz didn't want to come out. My jizz was like, "This is pathetic. We're staying in the nuts. We're staying in the nuts.
We don't want to stay here.
Yeah, don't kill us here. This is embarrassing.
I could have been a doctor."
I could have been
like
a doctor.
Slow cum comes out. Just
He's sad. Yeah. Hey.
That's even the penis is sad.
Hey. Yeah. You know when you know
girls don't know about that.
Nah. You know when you're depressed.
People don't know.
And you're trying to jerk off because you're like, I got to get this out because I want to maybe feel a little something.
Yeah. Something nice.
And the moment that you come, your dick goes soft. That's how you know you're depressed. Like the moment you come, your dick's like, fine, I'm done.
Yeah,
you know, like it goes right back to bed.
I like that your penis is gay.
Fine, I'm done.
See, this is why I couldn't date a doctor.
No, because with this kind of bullshit. Yeah.
At a restaurant.
Please. No, but you know, those days that I think doing those shitty rooms are so good for you. That
They're
whole joke,
so good,
that
yeah.
whole joke, that whole like I'm staying, man, does that make you, that humanizes you.
It's great
you.
When you have a buddy. Like
humbles
he was
you.
Able, like now I get to go on the road and like, you know, I mean, Jason Collings I get to bring and that's great when you have a buddy because even if it's like a shitty ticket sale,
doesn't
that's
matter.
The big thing we think about now. It's like, man, I want to sell tickets.
Fuck
you
yeah.
Know? In some cities you do and markets you're like, oh, okay, that's good.
Right.
We all want to get there and it will happen, but it's just, it happens at different times for people. It's nice when you have somebody like Jason is the best ball buster, so he'll be like, dude, it is packed out there. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, take a look. And then I look,
like
it's like
50 people.
15 people. And he goes, it's pretty good for you, right? And I go, damn it, Jason. He goes, no, it's okay. It's all right. You should quit.
You need that.
Yeah.
We need our that. Friends to do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
He's been opening for Russell Peters, right?
Yeah. That
I see
so
pictures of him at like arenas and shit.
Now he's playing like where the Raptors play. And it's good because he's going to do the next leg of the tour. And like, he's just somebody. He's one of the people that's so talented that I'm like, but you know, he started older and this business
yeah, he started
discriminates
at,
age.
I do. He started at 66 years 66 old. That's nuts. Yeah.
He ages well. He's got president hair, so I don't really feel
his
bad.
His kids could be president now. They're over 50. His kids are. No, hey, are you doing a big tour in 2019? Are you going out or no?
I'm trying to.
Because you got to work on the show. So if the show goes, you're going to have no time to go out.
If the show goes, I'm not going to have time, but I'm going to try because I want to shoot my next hour.
Yeah.
At some point in the summer. That's what I really want to do.
Don't rush it.
Well, it's been like now it's been over 2 years.
So what?
2.5 years. I know, but I have something to say out there, dude.
Okay, that's
I've
more.
I've been reading like, well, not like books.
I know you haven't been reading.
But synopsis of stuff. And I got things to say.
You look at abridged versions of Twitter quotes. I know that.
I was just thinking about like the next special wouldn't be this, but I want to do a special where, what I want to call it reading. And it's where I actually read like the stuff that's on the summer book list. You know, that people had to read.
But but you don't read the books.
No, I actually do this time.
Okay. Because
I never used to read the books.
Brand.
I used to speed read. Did you speed read?
All the time.
Where you read the first... Well, no, it didn't work that way for me. I'd read the first and last paragraph of every chapter.
Oh,
and then
yes.
you read the first sentence of every paragraph in between.
Cheat read.
Oh, okay.
Cheat read. Speed read is when you put your finger... Have you ever seen this?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
That's like a legitimate way to read. If you just put your finger on the words and go over them,
can't. Dyslexic.
You'll pick up every four words.
I end up going backwards.
Oh, Brent, you don't know how to...
Well, I mean, I'll be on page 10. I go back to page one. But I'm bam.
Oh,
look
no.
at that bit, huh?
We'll be right back after this commercial break. Now, get the fuck out of here.
From Triscuits.
But so if the show goes, you'll have to stick around. You won't be able to do it.
Yeah, which would be nice because I could probably like it's impossible to, like you know, build any kind of relationship with anybody when you're a traveling gypsy.
Yeah,
you know?
It sucks. Like, it's fucking sucks.
It's I mean it's okay now because I'm back to like full single Brent, and that's fun because
full
like,
single Brent.
Yeah, because now it's like I'm. I definitely want like the next person to be somebody I like actually have a. Freaking thing with and like maybe have a family with one day. I would like that.
What's your longest relationship?
2 years, you know?
That's like the average length, I think, for quote unquote long. When someone's yeah. like, my longest is 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's always, you get it's up. Always 2 years.
And your ex died, so that's a crazy thing. That's why yeah. it ended.
I killed her.
No.
Whoops.
No, stop. No,
she's alive and flourishing.
She's alive. She's great. So,
bitch.
So.
No, we're friends. I hope she's doing well.
She's not watching this shit anyway.
No, I know.
So
she's probably hanging out with some hot guy.
Oh, come on. You were a hot guy.
You know what's so fucked up? I actually
You're
took
a
that
hot
as a compliment.
You're
like,
a hot guy.
I actually was like, was I?
Was I
yes.
a hot guy?
Back on a stupid diet. I hate everything. You get older and then all of a sudden weight can go on so easily.
You're not drinking or you're not you don't
not
eat,
drinking right
let
now.
Let me blow your spot up because mm-hmm. I texted Brent, me and Dalia were going out to get something to eat, and I texted Brent and I said, hey, let's go get a coffee or food, and he said, I can't eat before 2.
Yeah, I can't. I'm fasting.
Dude. Imagine what your friends back home would say. What would the Boston people say about that?
They're dead. the Connecticut folk.
Dude,
I don't
you
know,
got
they all got jacked.
Dude, what do you mean
tattoos?
You can't fucking eat before 2, bro? Fuck that, dude. Fucking I eat 40 pancakes before 2 p.m., bro.
See, how are you not in a movie that takes place in Boston?
Because, dude, Matt Damon won't answer my fucking phone calls.
You could have been in Stronger. Was that the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Could have been in that.
But this sounds like anything else when someone's like, hey, man, how come you're not in movies? That's kind of like how my aunt was like, how come you don't do Ellen? You're like, how come I don't do Ellen? Fucking, you know.
Honestly, you're 100% right. That is exactly what people say to me.
How come you're not in a Marvel movie? By the way, have you seen, you know, Ellen has a new stand-up special?
I haven't seen it. I saw a clip and it actually looked funny.
No, I haven't seen, I mean, not seen it, but you saw that it's out. Yeah. It's coming out. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times put out an article yesterday that was like, It was great bait. By the way, New York Times, shout out, great fucking clickbait. It said Ellen DeGeneres is not as nice as you think she might be. And by the way, then you open the fucking articles. I was like, oh shit, is it going to say some juicy
yeah,
shit?
Yeah.
Nah, it's an interview with her.
Yeah,
where she basically says, I can't be happy and dancey all the time. You know, fans come up to me, and sometimes I'm like, I'm not in a mood to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But that's not what I wanted to fucking
hear.
It's
great clickbait, you're right.
Yeah, I wanted to hear someone go, yeah, dude, she's a fucking asshole.
Yeah,
like, I wanted
to
hear that kind of juice, you know? But they also did quote her money line, too. She was making $85 million a year.
What's that like?
You know what
Do
it's
you
like?
Think you could ever...
And she's married to fucking Portia de Rossi. You know how great she lives like every teenage boy wants to live? That's like,
yeah.
I married Portia de Rossi, I make $85 million, and I just get to dance and fuck around on TV and have a good time.
And I drive a Porsche.
Porsches. Ellen's living that life. I hope the special's good, man. It's cool to see some people come back and do comedy specials.
Yeah,
I think some
like
of them are going to be
doing it. There were road comics for 20 years. That I'm cool. Like that, I'm always excited.
She's
to
a
see.
She was a co- she
yeah,
is a comedian.
She,
yeah,
she is
how
a
she
comedian,
started.
And she did it for 20 years playing all the shitholes we played.
Yeah,
and play.
Still play. And this weekend I'll be at.
What I can't fucking stand.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely like who like I don't care that much because I end up telling myself who cares, Brent. I can't stand that stand up on paper is so easy. It's a mic and a stage.
Yeah.
That actors just start showing up at places that we spent 6 years to be.
Go ahead and name a name.
At.
Who? Come on.
Piven.
Do it. Who?
Piven.
Piven's bothering you.
I mean, I haven't seen his act, but it's just, it's the idea that like, okay, I get it. If you want to try it, you want to do it.
Yep.
Fine. That's
yeah.
Because at the end of the day, whatever fame you have lasts about 3 minutes and then you got to be funny.
Right.
But the fact that you're on this Saturday show at a top club or, you know, it's like, really?
Right. Like, that people just do it kind of for fun.
Yeah. And then they yeah, I did. I'm a comedian. It's like, no, you're not. You know?
Yeah. They say I can just do, I'll do it.
No, I don't know if Piven tours or whatever. I don't know his stuff.
I think he does tour. I think he does tour, huh?
I'm using him as an example because I see it happen. You'll see actors that just get on stage.
Yeah.
And they might get a laugh.
Chris Hemsworth, he's touring, dude. He's doing the improvs.
To be honest with you, that
he would crush.
The fucked up thing is I'd be such a hypocrite because I'd want to be friends with him so bad.
What do you mean? Yeah,
he looks so cool.
Who's your most famous friend?
Most famous friend, Prince? No,
he's dead, Brent.
What?
Didn't know the guy that just found out.
Who is my most famous friend?
Or who's the most famous person that you've kicked it with that you're like, I can't believe I'm kicking it with fucking XYZ.
Well, I mean, the rapper, honestly, XYZ. athletes are my favorite.
Athletes, like Blake Griffin.
I know Blake's a little bit.
Yeah, Blake's cool. You know. He does fucking stand up. See, there you go.
Yeah, but he's an athlete. It's different to me.
That's so funny. But the lines that we draw.
Yeah, as a straight male.
Because I've seen him get on stage and do stand up.
Here's the thing with him, though. He's funny, but what I like about him.
He's funny because you like him. A lot of comics do this game.
But what I like about him, though, is that he likes to hang around comics and study comics.
He does.
And like go on podcasts and talk to comics about comedy.
Yeah.
And he'll like talk about comedy the way I want to ask him about practice, you know?
Yeah, but I don't get to go shoot around.
Like Gronkowski, and I'm a New Englander and a Patriot fan, so I love Gronkowski. I didn't know he even tried stand-up. He just had a special come out. So I don't know if he just said...
Gronk?
Yeah, he had something on Showtime or something.
Oh, right, he like featured other people. Right.
And then all of a sudden he's just got a special. I was like, how did that happen? Yeah. I don't see him anywhere.
On Netflix, right?
I guess, who cares?
Netflix.
Everybody has a fucking special. Kids from Stranger Things are going to do a goddamn special sketch show.
You have a special on Netflix?
Yeah, I know, but I earned a goddamn special.
Ooh, look at that. Look at that heat coming off of Brad. You're smoking right now, dude.
Yeah, you think this is Justin from Undateable?
It is.
I fucking swear.
No, but it is, though. It still is Justin from Undateable. There's no doubt.
Actually, that's great character work, by the way. Justin didn't have a beard.
that was the only difference.
And he drank lemon drops. And he liked Disney Love. And Brent was a very deeply disturbed Zoloft-taking whiskey drinker at the time. So,
but now you like lemon drops and Disney movies. So it's back to square one, man.
See how this is
cyclical? See how it goes back around?
I got to do a movie about heroin.
To get tough, to get credit.
So people go, whoa,
this dude's tough. That's kind of like Vince Vaughn had a movie just come out last year. Or maybe it was this year in 2018. What was it called? People are going to be like, oh, you don't fucking... About like, he went to prison. It's like fighting in prison and shit.
Oh, yeah, I saw that somewhere.
Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Damn.
Dude, but I think it's because for so many years, Vince Vaughn, as we know him, was this fucking hysterical, fast-talking character actor who was like amazing at that thing,
it's
right?
My number one I want to work with.
Swingers set the tone for what Vince would be for the good majority of his career.
Oh, yeah.
Because Swingers was pretty much just a sophomoric version of what you saw in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, 100%.
It was the same character.
And you could see one of the things I do notice too.
And about it crushed, guys like by the Vince, way.
And you see this with guys like Will Ferrell, actors who aren't necessarily funny.
Yeah.
Their idea of funny is imitating people like Vince or Will.
But that's
like,
right, because those guys are fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
But you know what's so funny? But are those guys like, I suffer from the same thing in terms of like, I want to be as funny as I can.
Sure.
Like right now I'm shooting this FX pilot and I'm trying to be as funny as I can. But then there's moments where I'm like, you know, it's funny to be not funny too. Like Will Ferrell did a movie called Everything Must Go. It was really sad about an alcoholic father who was to sell everything on his lawn. It was wonderful, man.
I really liked it.
I don't think it got a lot of acclaim.
No.
But like sometimes funny actors don't want to be that funny because they're like, I just want you to see me as a dude sometimes.
And it's easier for a comedian to go into a dramatic role than it is for a dramatic actor to go into a comedy, in my mind.
Yeah, no, you know? That's because comedy is hard to do. So if you already have the comedy, I still think you have to work hard to be good at drama as a comedian.
Sure,
but yes, you're right. I also think many people...
I read some drama scripts and I go, what the hell can I... What do I do with
this? What are you going to bring to it?
Say it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what else to do.
Deliver me a dramatic line. Here's the line. Deliver me this line.
Okay. Watch this.
He drove away... And I don't think he's ever coming back.
Okay.
But turn away and give it to me.
Where am I? Who am I saying this to?
Oh, you want me to set up the whole tone?
Yeah.
Okay. So he drove away and I don't think he's ever coming back. You're a young 18-year-old boy who has to be the man of the house. You have to run the farm. Okay. And your father, who's a drunk, has left home.
Great.
What you think is the last time.
Got it.
Yeah.
And who are you, though?
I'm your fucking mother.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, now I got to run the thing. All right. He drove away. And he's never coming back.
Oh, eat your fucking pancakes, you little... That's good. That was really good.
Thank you.
He's never
Thank
coming you. Back. It's never. I believed it.
Because he's 18. He's not going to give him her full dramatic.
Yeah, that's,
he's gonna,
that's good.
He's going to have a wall.
He's put up a wall.
Mom, he drove away. He's never coming back. Let it go.
Here's how I would do it.
Nice. Here it is. Here,
ready?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and we're at breakfast.
Great.
That's why I said the pancakes, right? Say what do you think happened? You're my mom. Say, what do you think happened?
What do you think happened?
Oh, no. Dad's gone. He's not coming back.
Can I tell you something? Brilliant. Here's why. Because you're special, obviously.
Yes,
and
see?
That's going to get
see?
You nominated.
No,
that's
Dad's it. Gone. He's not coming back. But I'm stoked about it.
Oh, I'd be in a theater crying. It's like when I...
Oh, he doesn't know.
To call back me skipping school to see movies. I remember I was on my outside desk and I went, oh, Radio just came out. And I went and saw Radio. I'm Radio. Remember that
I
movie?
I loved Radio.
I loved Radio. I was crying in that movie.
Ed Harris, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He played a handicapped dude who got picked on by the football team. And
that was good because he went full and it was still, you know, it worked.
He was so good.
He was a great actor.
Isn't it ever
he's
weird?
He's still around. Isn't he yeah. got a resurgence?
Oh, he's now? Awesome. No, he's fucking incredible. Isn't it ever weird that comics get to play mentally handicapped people and we're like totally chill about it? Isn't it weird kind of that we're like, that like people, you're like, you get to live in this character so deeply and people are like, wow, man, that's awesome. But there are mentally handicapped actors you could just hire.
I was going to say, yeah, you're right.
It's a little weird.
That is weird.
It's a little weird. It's kind of like if a white dude did blackface.
That's true.
And you're like, there's black people, dude. And you're like, I know, but I want to do it.
It's like when they hire a lot of British actors to play like American.
I'm so tired of these. I'm so tired of this fucking business hiring motherfuckers to play like. Stop that.
This is my impression of most actors doing like a drama today. They do it. Hey, yo, what up, man? And then cut to them in the interview with a scarf. Well, Slot, when I did the role, I thought, you know. Compton is something I'm like, you don't even know how to say it.
Compton. when we were shooting NWA, it was such a great experience. Cut to the scene. He's yeah. like, you better back the fuck up before I fucking chop your dick off, motherfucker. And that was a scene where I took a lot of my pent up youth and aggression. And basically, I just reshaped some of the anger from, you know, me not getting, you know,
when I was playing Tallywhack over in Cheshire Square.
Cheshire Square.
Man, I really know nothing.
They don't let us play them as much as we let them play us.
That's
and I'm
very true.
Fucking sick of it. I think Bill Burr had a funny quote about how he was tired of foreigners making fun of America. Like he was like, I'm not trying to dump on.
Oh, I think I heard this. Yeah,
you know that kid. The Daily Show. He's like, I'm not trying to dump on him. He's like, we can shit on us just fine. I don't need a foreigner to come and also shit on us. But it is true. It is weird
John
how we.
John Oliver, Trevor Noah.
Well, those are the
Jim
two.
Jeffries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jim. Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
But
didn't
I like
he say something. He goes, I like, don't act like your world like there isn't fat people. In Europe.
Yeah. Because they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
They did. Well, you kidding me? In fucking England.
These fucking whores.
In England, they dip dip French fries in mayonnaise. I thought that was the weirdest. When I first went there, I was like, yeah, ketchup? He's like, no, we got mayo. And I was like, for what? He's like, for your chips. I was like, no, I'm not dipping French fries in mayonnaise. Fucking insane. Egg fat yolk on your French fry? Get the fuck out of here. Give me a tomato.
Have you done London yet?
No, and you know what's funny? I put out a poll to see how many people wanted me to go where, and London was huge.
Yeah, you would do well.
And I can't believe that.
You should do.
Because I love that fucking place, and I thought, man, maybe.
So great. I mean,
you did. Yeah.
I did.
Oh, dude, when we were in Montreal, you were about to go to London.
Yeah, and it was so great. That audience is great because they listen, and you're a story guy like me, so like you got to pay attention.
Yeah, they actually listen.
Pay attention. I remember trying to make jokes. Sometimes when you play a new city, for any comics out there who are. New. When you play a new city, it's nice in the first like 2 minutes to talk about where you are.
The city itself, yeah.
Don't think about it. I mean, I don't think about it. I don't write it down. I might even be walking to the venue and see something and then bring it up on stage.
Right.
Just brings them in. I tried that in London. They could not give two shits about. They're like, just do your performance.
Yeah, they don't like
so
local
the first
bullshit.
Time I was bombing for the first 4 minutes and then went into my act and then they were just listening and going, good, this is a show. I'm going to watch a show. So after that, I stopped doing any like in London.
That's very indicative of America because when you travel in the States, dude, the first thing out of your mouth, if you're like Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? And they're like, they fucking lose it.
What is with you guys and your sandwiches?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have sandwiches here. Yeah, I think that's funny. London, I do want to do. There's a bunch of new dates that I'm going to do coming up in the new year.
Yeah.
I'm doing the first date I do is I go to the DC Improv.
I love that club.
I'm sorry. Arlington Draft House. Look at that.
That's good too.
Look at that. Look at what I just did. I just fucked up. We had just talked about it prior, and so I got in my head. No, I'm doing the Arlington Draft House, which is kind of next to DC, at the end of January. And you know what? like I'm happy that because I usually don't go out at the beginning of the year because I'm like, ah, the weather shit, the year's just starting, I'm trying to like figure out what I'm doing for the year, but like I just want to get the fuck out and get out of LA for a little while. I'm going to Chicago for Christmas, and then New Year's I'm going to Vegas to see Gwen Stefani.
Really?
Yeah, you know dude. Her? Huh?
Do you know her?
Nah, it's none of your business.
Hey. I just don't see you traveling for Gwen. No.
Well, so here's what it is.
I feel like you would know Gwen.
We got some friends. We have some good friends that are like mega fans, and it was kind of like a cute little get-together suggestion thing. But then afterwards, Dylan Francis, who's a DJ who did this podcast, he's in Vegas, and so is Little Dicky. They're both performing. Yeah. So I'm going to go and hopefully hook up with both of those dudes. And when I say hook up, I mean have sex. I'm not going to watch them perform.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
There's
not a fucking loser.
Gay about having a good time.
Dude, there's nothing gay about fucking some of your buds.
And actually, gay is a good time.
Yeah, gay is a good time.
I wish I was gay.
The New Year's is not really my thing. Are you doing something for New Year's?
I have to go. I can't
Are you
say
performing?
I have to go. I'm going to Hawaii for Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Because my little brother, the doctor, is last year residency. They send him to certain places, so they're sending him to the hospital in Honolulu.
Oh, what a tough gig.
I know, for 5 weeks. And my mother loves him more. So she's like, we should go be with him for the holidays. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've lived in L.A. for 14 years, but you've never come here. Sure. When do you want to go? She goes, Christmas Eve to New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I go, Mom, what are you, Beyonce? It's going to cost thousands of dollars.
That's an expensive
trip. Teachers. Like, yeah. What are you doing? Oh, you want me to try to pay for it? I can't afford it. I spend poorly.
Are your parents still working or are they done?
Yeah, they went back, you know.
They went back. So they quit for a while and then they went back?
Yeah, they both wanted to teach again. Well, my mom has, she works with special ed kids now. And then, so I go to see her a lot. And bam, bam, good bit, Brent. I was in special
ed.
Did not
land.
I was in resource and I had to have Ritalin crushed up in yogurt every day. So.
That was a choice.
Yeah, it was good, dude. It got me going.
Got me going.
Started snorting the Ritalin. Man, I'm focused.
They went back to school because they felt like they needed to?
Yeah, my dad loved it so much. And then
what did they do in the summers, by the way? Did they work?
Bother me. Yeah, my dad, they would. Because teachers don't get paid enough, so they would have to go work sometimes and do like summer schools or do like teach at a college. But then other than that, it was just golf and bother me.
One of my favorite teachers, and he would paint in the summer.
Yeah,
I thought that was crazy because I was like, I know he might need another job. I get that financially, but painting in the summer sounds like a fucking nightmare. Like in the middle of the heat, like July, like fucking painting houses in the heat of Chicago.
Oh, I
was
like, paint! Like I thought you
paint.
Meant like actually.
Oh
oil
no,
painting.
Man, he was a painter. He loved to paint.
I remember doing that. My dad would work sometimes. We had tobacco fields near us, and he would work the tobacco fields sometimes.
God, your life is such like a fucking Norman Rockwell fucking book.
I remember
scene.
That just a little bit, but then he would teach college.
Daddy was out in the tobacco fields.
He loved teaching too much. They both did. But
that's funny because you're someone that doesn't really love to learn.
It's amazing.
You're not
how
a student of anything, really.
I hate being a student. I've always taught myself how to swim, ride a bike, ski, play the guitar, sing, everything. I hated anybody trying to
teaching
tell me.
Teaching you? Yeah.
I didn't understand why.
Most comics are anti-authoritative.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah,
and
we don't
like
that shit.
I don't want anybody to teach me how to do anything. And then that's where I spent time in the hall. But
that's why you're a hall boy.
Yeah. The only time, speaking of getting suspended, I didn't get suspended, but the in-school suspension I had to do because the only thing they had to get me in trouble for is that I stole passes to get out of school.
Oh, yeah.
From a teacher's desk.
Weren't you the permanent hall pass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's like, where are you going? You're like, I know Brent. They're
my
like,
desk.
No, okay.
And,
going to Brent's desk.
You know why they did that? Because my Spanish class was my first period class, and my teacher, she was from like Spain, and she would say probably
she was from Spain.
She for no reason, even though I wasn't failing, I had a C minus average in all classes. Okay, I made sure I got the C. She would say, "Brent, you're failing" in front of all the kids, and I hated that.
How did she say it in Spanish?
Brent,
estoy.
I could do it. Estoy falalo. Whatever, dude. I don't need
so
it.
Many fans that are fluent in Spanish are going to listen to this and be like,
Falalo
this motherfucker
is... What if Falalo is so racist?
Yeah, what
you never know what your
Falalo,
accent is
Falalo means like border jumper or some shit. Falalo's real fucked up and racist.
Thank God you took
hey,
that.
Hey, man,
now.
I picked
That's
it up and
now.
I ran with it.
But I remember my little protest was... It's first period.
My Little Protest was like My Little Pony, but that was a...
It was actually a one-man play I wrote
my
in school.
My Little Protest.
Welcome to My Little Protest.
Anarchy. That's how it opened.
This is why I won't eat green beans, Mom.
In the summer of 94, I remember my mom took me to the game. It's like, oh my God. Even my little brother's like, this is gayer than me. Shut up. Anyway, I remember my protest was, I was like, I'm not ready to learn. I need my breakfast. So I brought a full thing of breakfast into class.
What do you mean, eggs, like eggs and bacon and shit?
Pancakes, orange juice.
You deviant motherfucker.
And I got this other kid that I played baseball with who was a year younger than me to come into class too. I said, leave your backpack in the hallway. I go, we'll get our backpacks when we're ready to learn. So out of spite, I was mad. So I sat down and she had already moved me to the front of the class. And I remember silverware and she's teaching. I put it all out and cutting up the... I'm buttering the toast. And she goes, Brent, what are you doing? Yeah, I'll be with you after this. And I just remember I wouldn't. She goes, get rid of the breakfast. The other kid like panicked and he went and got his backpack. And I refused to get my
backpack.
You're
like, I am getting rid of it. I'm going to eat all of it right now.
And then she got so mad that she goes, well, you can't eat breakfast in this classroom. And I said, I'm not going to be any good to you until I have my breakfast.
You're such a diva.
So then she goes, well, you can't eat breakfast in here. So I said, well, then I'll eat it in the hall. And I carried my desk into the hall. And I,
that where
was
you
my
belong.
Protest. And then the other teachers started doing that as punishment.
Put Brent in the hall so he can finish his breakfast.
Man, I was a little shit. My parents are teachers, too. That was so shitty.
You are. That's a piece of shit move. I never ate breakfast when I was a kid. I had cinnamon rolls. And you know what?
It was expensive. I couldn't do it every day. That was my protest.
Yeah, it was expensive. My mom would leave me like a couple of bucks on the desk downstairs, you know, for like... Mm-hmm. Lunch, and what I would do is I would save it every day.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't spend it, so I'd just steal lunch.
Smart.
I would steal people's lunches. Or I would go.
I could see you get away with that.
But not in a bully way.
Oh.
Not in a bully way. I would just go up to like people I knew and be like, yo, let me get that. And they'd be like, what?
Yeah, but they were scared of you. They're like, yeah, sure.
No, I'd be like, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you don't want the rest of that, right? And they'd be like, no. So I'd have that, and then I'd be like, yo, can I get that fucking banana? Get the banana. I would just collect. So then by the end of the week, I would have the money, you know, a couple, you know, what is that, 10 bucks or,
sure,
you know, whatever was left over. And then I could have, I had 10 bucks.
They used to give me free lunch because the cafeteria ladies love me.
We didn't have I got free lunch
because
we would steal all the time. Hoodies were great when I was in school because you could, the hoodie front pouch pocket, man, easy for a cheeseburger to slide right the fuck in there. I was a thief, dude.
Chicken fries, baby.
I was such a piece of shit thief. When we were in high school, bro, there was a liquor store up the street from my high school, and we wore puffy jackets in the winter. You know, remember the puffy jackets were crazy?
Of course. Like Missy Elliott. You're in Illinois, too.
Yeah, it was cold
it's
as fuck.
Be so cold. Missy Elliott.
The Missy Elliott puffy jacket generation. Yeah. I would go to the liquor store. We'd have some kid in there distracting, like just being a fucking asshole, you know? And I would walk down, and I remember everybody loved flavored Smirnoff. They still do all these fucking flavors, but like... flavored Smirnoff and Bacardi. Oh, Bacardi and Bacardi, different flavors. And I would slide the bottles of booze in the arms of my jacket, of my puffy jacket. I'd get two or three in there, easy.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'd walk right the fuck out.
That's impressive.
Yeah, we did it all the time.
I was too scared to steal.
I stole so much stuff because I was like, I want it, but I can't afford it.
Yeah.
So I stole it.
But that was it.
What? Mine's way better. Than,
you know.
Kidnapping people?
Yeah, because
yours
is
a felony.
No, 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 no. It was, you know, we all settled it. Maybe found out I was kidnapping people.
No, no, no. The guy, you know, hey.
It was a kid.
It's a kid.
But
we stole a child.
Somebody owed money. Didn't get money. Kid got stolen. Kid returned.
You make it so basic. Look, he owed me money. Didn't pay me money. We get the kid. We tie him up with a gun in his mouth. We knock out his teeth. Yada yada. You get it.
No,
we gave him
in
back.
The gun. Teeth grew back. We're good.
We're good. We're good. Yeah, I stole so much stuff. I was really bad. I don't know why.
Did you ever get caught?
Honestly, dude, not really. I mean, like, and if I did, it was
this is what I like to hear.
Yeah, it was like minor
shit.
Because
I'm so sick of like repercussion.
Oh yeah.
Stories.
Yeah, I didn't get.
Sometimes bad things happen, and nothing happens to you.
Yeah,
nothing happens.
You know that show, I Almost Got Away With It? You know what that is? Where they talk about like people that like try to... It's usually moving drugs across borders.
Sure.
I want to make one called I Got Away With It.
Yeah, I Got Away With It.
And just tell the fucking story of like...
Tell a bunch of
them. I got away with so much bullshit when I was a kid.
That's actually a good little Netflix show. I got away with it. You could start with like things like that, and then another episode could be like an actual jewelry heist, and you just kind of black them out, you know?
Or you're just like a full on murder. You know, we just get people to be like, dude, look, I'm a murderer, dude, and they haven't caught me.
If that didn't win every Peabody or every award, if you found a way to get murderers to be comfortable enough to be like, yeah, I killed her.
Well, like this, they're in this kind of environment. They're like, dude, listen, she was talking shit. I fucking can't. Anyway, dude, but I'm a good guy. I got away with it. Yeah,
I just had this conversation with a friend the other day. We were watching something, some movie, and I said, you know, it's amazing how easy it is to get away with murder. I bring this up with no context. And he goes, what are you talking about? They always get caught. I go, no, you only hear about the people that are caught.
That's
people
right.
have been murdered so much. I go, right now there's somebody sitting down that's completely fine that murdered somebody 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that there isn't so many more unsolved murders than there are solved murders.
There's got to be someone getting murdered right now.
And there's got to be somebody maybe in this office that's murdered.
You think?
You know.
You saw some of the guys when you walked in.
There was a handshake I didn't trust. I can see it in the eyes.
I know exactly who it is. I know exactly who it is.
I knew somebody that was the guy competing for Class Clown with me. He's in jail now for murder. For like,
that was the competition?
For like 12 murders.
We competed for Class Clown?
He was, but I think he had killed people in high school because he was one of the kids that came on the bus from the city. He was a drug dealer and a pimp in high school.
A pimp?
Yeah, he was a pimp.
Pimping out all the high school girls?
He used to have hoes, yeah.
Damn.
And he used to walk the halls because, you know, he'd already been shot. He's seen God. So he was like, I don't need to learn math. And so he would just come up to my desk in the hall and be like, what are you doing? I was down in the office talking to the girls, and they say that you're up for Class Clown. I'm going to get it. I go, no, you're not. I'm going to get it.
That was a superlative at your school, Class Clown?
Yeah, I was really, but they got rid of it our year. Because of us. And then he was like, prove it. So we would go to each classroom during class, and he would flirt with the teachers, and I would make all the kids laugh, and we would ask who they thought was funnier. And then
the teachers are like, you're funny, Brent, but this guy's got a nice hog.
And he was really confident, man.
Yeah, he probably fucked a few teachers.
Yeah, he had to. I mean, this guy had it. And he was built like Martin Lawrence, but he was like, you know.
He was built like Martin Lawrence.
He was a little man, but
Gina!
He had this car with all these hoes after school, like, yo, B, I'll see you later. I'm like, yeah. You know,
you're on
like,
your bike.
Man. And I'm a white guy, so any black kid that said, what up, B, I was the coolest thing in the world.
I'm B, Mom. Yeah. Call me B. She's like, shut the fuck up, Brent.
Go eat your Cheerios. And did I hear you had another breakfast this morning? Well, you know, I got to start my day. And then a friend of mine sent me, he goes, hey, did you hear about I'm not going to say his name. Did you hear? And I go, what? He goes, he got arrested. I go, for what? Multiple homicide. Apparently, he's like a drug kingpin.
Aww.
He had climbed the ranks, which I thought, you know, good for him.
Good for him. All stories end well.
And then he got acquitted because people were too scared to testify because people were getting killed. And then finally, now he's in jail for life.
So come out and clip you.
But point to that story. I am funnier.
You're funny and it's working. plug where people want to see you and look up all your stuff. BrentMoore.com.
My apartment.
Come to your fucking apartment.
Here's a side note for anybody who knows me. I need this to be out there. Yeah. Stop giving me shit for the website. The website is bad on purpose because I haven't done anything to it.
What is it? BrentMoren.com?
It's BrentMoren.com.
We're going to go look at it.
You can type in net, anything. I don't give a shit. It will show up. I'm going to put new tour dates before Christmas time for January and February. And
good.
It's going to fill up like crazy. Also, I did a movie called The Outdoorsman that I was 30 pounds heavier for. Go watch
that. When does that come out?
It's out on Amazon and all those streaming sites. Pay to see me. Go watch that with Shasir Zamata. Very funny.
Oh, Shasir Zamata.
Mm-hmm. From SNL.
I like her.
And Rick Shapiro, who's a hilarious comic.
Also funny.
Could not stop making me laugh when I did it. And Rick Glassman, our beautiful autistic friend.
Yeah. Artistic.
He's on the spectrum.
Yeah, he is on the spectrum.
And I was over his place yesterday. He had shoulder surgery. His mom flew out for that. So, you know,
Mama
34.
Glassman.
Mm-hmm.
I love those people.
Last night. Oh, they said hi, by the way.
I fucking love those people.
Hey, come here last night, but I didn't.
Nah, we worked it out.
What else do I got going on?
Plug your Twitter and your Instagram. What is that? So people
Brent
can come follow
Morin,
you and all that bullshit.
BrentMoren.
Okay. I'm going to look like I'm following you right now.
What if I did?
Okay.
By the way, you ever deal with that? It's such a Hollywood thing where somebody that used to follow you, you didn't even know, unfollowed you, and then you hang out or shoot something with them, and then they're on their phone like, you know, you're talking about something. They're like, so anyway. And then,
they follow
I'm
you.
Like, and I always call them out. I go,
you didn't follow
you
me?
You unfollowed me? And they go, what do you mean? You just followed me.
That's how it goes.
It's the life we live, huh?
It's the life we live. Come see your boy, Chito Santino. You know, go to AndrewSantino.com for tickets. In January, kids, I'm going to be January 19th.
That's a smart move.
January 19th, I'll be in Bakersfield at the Trembler Brewing Company, Bakersfield. And then January 24th, 25th, 26th, I'll be at the Arlington Draft House. Come see me out there. Go online. Get your motherfucking tickets. Do your thing.
Wait 1 second. I got to do this. Do what you did. See, this is why people don't come.
Yeah, you got to fucking. They got to know where you are, dude. You got to tell them.
Oh, and I'm going to do a podcast sometime.
Nah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I said that like the kid that like works in like the small town. Like, one day I'm going to get out of here, boys. I don't know what town he lives in. All right. Here's where I'll be. January and February. I don't need to promote a lot of these.
We're going to cut all this.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to be at Laugh Out Loud in San Antonio on January 18th to the 20th in Texas. I know somebody just asked me if I'm going to be in Texas. That's where I'll be. Oh, St. Louis. I'm looking forward to that in during Valentine's Day.
Ooh,
oh,
February.
God. It's like my reps know I have no one. At Helium, and then I'll be at Mohegan Sun again, which is like a home. I don't need to tell you.
Connecticut.
That. That's basically hometown.
Yeah, so but I played it a bunch.
Oh, Punchline in Atlanta. Denver Comedy Works at some point. Well, that's in the summer. All right, so just go.
Go to BrentMoren.com and
go to the
all
bullshit there and just shut up. How about that? How about you go fuck yourself?
Hey.
And go see us at the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Laugh Factory. We're there every weekend.
I love that.
You know? Because we're going to go make people laugh.
Thanks for coming, Brent.
Dude, I'm staying. Whisk.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.